Want to at this time move on into our Bible study for this evening. You can see the title there on the screen. Who need or why do you need the Holy Spirit? Why you need the Holy Spirit? We're moving quickly into the Passover time of year. We'll be having some sermonettes coming up, not this week, but next week, having to do with that. I'll begin some series of sermons around Pentecost. Pentecost is, and the Holy Spirit has so much information. I think there's enough information just on Pentecost alone, the Holy Spirit, it working in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how it works in our lives, that it's the power of God, that it's not a third person, all of those things. So much information. I could probably speak about Pentecost 52 weeks out of the year. It clearly is enough information to do that. So thankfully, I plan to be in the area for a good long time. So we'll be able to get through a lot of the information having to do with that. But I thought tonight that we start with a couple of scriptures to lay the foundation, and then we'll just have a quiz tonight. I thought with the quiz that we'll go through, it would give us an opportunity to start thinking about what our knowledge is with regard to Pentecost, our understanding about the Holy Spirit. And then as we go through both sermonettes and sermons, hopefully all the answers with regard to that, anything within the quiz and outside the quiz will be covered as we move towards Pentecost. So I thought it would be a good thing tonight to cover some initial scriptures and then just go through the quiz. I did send the quiz out to you via email. If you have that, that's great. If you had an opportunity to answer the questions before the Bible study, that's great. If not, you can look at the handout afterwards. But tonight we'll go through it. We'll go through the answers tonight for the quiz to give you us all a really good foundation as we move into towards our next holy day. So to begin with, go with me over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. I just want to read a couple of verses here or a couple of sections here out of the book of Acts, having to do with Pentecost, having to do with the Holy Spirit. It says here, beginning in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The former account I made to Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." There is so much in that sentence, so much in that sentence. And we'll have an opportunity to dissect that in the future. But right from the beginning, it says the former account that I is Luke. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. And it's wonderful to go back and start reading Luke chapters 23, 24, and seeing that when we get to the book of Acts, it really is a continual flow from Luke right into the book of Acts, right into the book of Acts. And Luke is such a prolific writer as a physician. He's very detailed. And in that first sentence, there is so much there that we'll have an opportunity to go through. But right there at the end of verse 3, it says, "Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God. That's something that we understand as a church of God, that many Christian religions do not preach. They don't preach the gospel that Jesus Christ came to speak and ask us to preach. They preach a gospel about Christ, who Christ was. But Jesus Christ wants us to preach not only about who he was, but to bring to the world what he wanted the world to understand. And that is the knowledge and the understanding about the coming kingdom of God and what that will mean. Continuing here in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," and again, you can read through Acts 24, verses 49 to 53 and get the summary of that. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Verse 6, "Therefore, When they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, very profound statement for us even today, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. A lot of knowledge in that particular statement. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is what we are to be doing. Witnesses of Jesus Christ, the things that he taught, what he will be doing, his plan of salvation, his return. Verse 9, it says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Profound statement there. Jesus Christ is returning back to this earth. So many places we can go to make that clear. Then over to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Luke began here talking about the Holy Spirit, the promise that Jesus Christ had made to them. And then that promise is fulfilled here in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says here, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So brethren, this is profound teaching that we have here. Wonderful teaching that we have here regarding the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we want to take the opportunity to go through this particular quiz. The quiz is intended to really freshen our minds, challenge us on some fundamental things about the Holy Spirit, about our teaching. I'm not going to go through the backup for each of these answers. I think you'll get a lot of that through Bible studies and as we go through the month of May. You'll get a lot of that through sermons and sermonettes. But this provides us a really good foundation of things that we should understand or things that we should be digging into our Bible to understand about the Holy Spirit. So I want to go through this quiz at this time. It's 25 questions. Those who have done baptismal counseling with me in the past have gone through this. This is one of the quizzes that I give on baptismal counseling. Those who have done baptismal counseling with me also know that I have about five or six pretty heavy quizzes that we go through just to challenge us and help make sure that we understand what we're stepping into. So here we are. Let's go through each of these. And this is question 51. It goes from 51 to 75. And we'll just go through these quickly as a part of our Bible study this evening. So question number 51 says, God promised to give his Holy Spirit, A, only to the apostles, to those whom he called and who truly repent of their sins and were baptized, to all who merely profess the name of Jesus Christ, of Jesus, or D, only to Christ and the early New Testament church. So God promised to give his Holy Spirit. And the answer to that is B. He promised to give his Holy Spirit to those whom he calls and who truly repent of their sins and are baptized. Next question, 52. Why is it absolutely necessary for us to receive the Holy Spirit? It's the beginning of God's Spirit life, so we can develop God's character, so we can be resurrected to glorious eternal life. The answer to that is D. All of those are true. All of those are true. And we look forward to all of those taking place in our life. We have to have and we have to receive God's Holy Spirit. Number 53. Who are true Christians in God's sight? This is a very important question. We're not speaking of those who profess to be Christians or those who follow Jesus Christ. We're asking who are true Christians in God's sight. In God's sight. A, those who merely profess Christianity, those who have been born again, quote unquote, those who possess the Holy Spirit, and most churchgoers today. The answer is C. Those who possess God's Holy Spirit, those are the true Christians. Certainly God's Holy Spirit is working with our children. They're being called into this way of life with the desire that they make that commitment. When they make that commitment, you're locked in, so to speak. The only thing that can take you out is you yourself. You yourself. So we're very thankful for that. Question number 54. What is the Spirit of God? What is it? We'll go right to the answer to this. It's answer A. Answer A, the power and energy of God, as well as the very nature, life, and mind of God. Incredible understanding that we have. And it's wonderful to understand that God gives us an earnest, a down payment of that power, of that nature, of that life, of that mind. And it's incumbent upon us to use it, to leverage it. Question number 54. How are God and man alike? How are God and man alike? You can read through those, but the answer to this is C. C. Man was created in the likeness, in his form and shape, but with limited physical powers. We are alike. We have the form and shape of God. We went through that a couple of weeks ago with Moses, asking God to, you know, show me, asking Jesus Christ, can you show me your glory? Can you show me your glory? And Christ said, you know, I'm going to put my hand in front of you. You can stand between the lock. And as I pass by, you'll see my back. So God created us in his likeness, in his form and his shape, but certainly with much limited power than he has. He looks to give us more of that power when we're resurrected. Question number 56. Which one of the following statements is not true? I always liked these or somewhat disliked these not statements when I was in school. Have to read them very carefully. Which one of these is not true? The word holy means free from sin. The two beings presently composing God the Father possess a sinless or holy attitude and mind. The Holy Spirit expresses the very mind and character of God. All of those are true. D, the Spirit of God does not exist in various states, as does matter. So D is not true. That's the one that's not true. You can read through the whole through the New Testament, the Old Testament. Holy Spirit appears as a dove, as in the wind, many things. It's the power of God. God can allow that Holy Spirit to appear as he chooses. It appeared as fire on the day of Pentecost. Question number 57. How did God the Father raise Jesus Christ from the dead? The answer to that is C. C, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's power. That's how it was done. That's how it was done. Question number 58. What does the Father promise begotten Christians? What does the Father promise Spirit-begotten Christians, spirit-begotten Christians? A, nothing very great to look forward to. B, that one day he will change or raise them to immortality, power, and glory as he did Christ. C, riches, power, and glory in this life. D, just a slightly better life here and now. Aren't we glad that the answer is B? Aren't we so glad that the answer is B? God promises immortality, power, and glory. So much more than what the Christian world looks at or thinks about. You know, they're looking forward in many of the religions to, you know, a new pair of wings, seven virgins, all sorts of other things. The Bible is very clear. Immortality, power, and glory. Question number 59. What can the spirit body do? What can a spirit body do? All of the above. D, it can appear and disappear, can pass through barriers and walls, travel through space at incredible speed. I look forward to the time when we go to being a spirit being class number 101, how to walk through walls. Class number 2, how to appear and disappear. Class number 3, how to go from here to the other side of the earth at thought. Incredible things that we have to look forward to. Incredible things we have to look forward to. Question number 60. Which one of the following statements about spiritual begetto is not true? Is not true. Another one of these not questions. A, we are completely born again when begotten by the Father Spirit. B, before our spiritual creation can begin, God the Father must beget each of us spiritually. C, each human mind is like the nucleus of an egg, which with which the Spirit of the Father unites. And D, a seed or germ of the Father Spirit unites with the human spirit when one is spiritually begotten. The one that is not true is A. A, we are completely born again when begotten by the Father Spirit. A wonderful understanding that we have. You know, this process that we are in is a process. Just like repentance is a process. Growth is a process. It's a process. And we look forward to B through D taking place in our lives. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Question number 61. Question number 61. When does one receive the Holy Spirit? When does one receive the Holy Spirit, become spiritually begotten? When does that take place? A, the day he is born into the world. B, upon spiritual birth at the resurrection. C, when a minister of God lays hands on him after baptism and prays for the receipt of God's Spirit. D, as soon as he decides to live God's way of life. The answer, of course, is C. Is C. You know, as we move into Pentecost, again, we can think about baptism. We can think about our baptism and what took place. And the receipt of God's Holy Spirit and how marvelous that was. How incredible that was. When a minister of God lays hands on him and after baptism, prays for the receipt of God's Holy Spirit. Number 62. Number 62, I just realized maybe I'm going fast too quickly through these. I'll slow down a little bit. Number 62, when is it necessary for a to be begotten by God's Spirit? When is it necessary to be begotten by God's Spirit? Why is it necessary to be begotten by God's Spirit? A, because full spiritual life and growth in us is important without spiritual begetto. B, certainly not so we can develop a spiritual character of God. C, so we will never sin again in this life. D, so we can be born of God at the same time. The answer is A, because full spiritual life and growth in us is impossible without spiritual begetto. So God can work with us. As we grow up, you're very thankful. I'm so thankful that God called my father. And as a result of God calling my father, I received that calling. God's Holy Spirit began working with me as it works with your children. When it comes to a point and a place in our life where we have to then make that choice. Up until that time, God's Holy Spirit is certainly working with us. But it's not until we receive that Holy Spirit, where that Holy Spirit is in us, and then that full spiritual process of development truly begins, that spiritual life truly begins, that growth truly begins in earnest. We're so very thankful for that. Question number 63. To grow spiritually, the begotten Christian must take in spiritual nourishment. How does one receive this spiritual food? How does one receive this spiritual food? Very important question here. Through regular reading and studying of God's word, the Bible. B, through daily personal contact with God in prayer. C, regular fellowship with other spirit-begotten members of the body of Christ. All of the above. All of the above are important. And certainly letter C has been very, very difficult with this coronavirus that we're going through. Very difficult times. We're looking forward to being able to reassemble. We'll reassemble with wisdom when that time comes, when the time is right. But fellowship, being together, is what we need. It's a part of our spiritual development. We're very thankful for this technology, but this technology is not what we want how things to continue to be forever. We look forward to being back together with fellowship. Very, very important part of our spiritual growth and receiving spiritual food. Number 64. By which one of the following ways in God's character, is God's character not developed in a person? By which one of the following ways is God's character not developed in a person? A, suddenly and completely when he or she is begotten by God. The answer is A. It doesn't happen suddenly and completely. We certainly wish that were the case. It wouldn't be great that after we were baptized, came up out the water, minister lays hands on us, that suddenly we're perfect. Wouldn't that be great? But no, we have to do the other things that it mentions there in question 64. Practice obedience to God, helping and serving others by helping to further the very work of God. And those are just a few of the things that we do in order to build the character of God, how God's character is developed in us. Question number 65. What does the expression filled with the Holy Spirit not mean? What does filled with the Holy Spirit not mean? A, that one is imbued with the Spirit of God, which is administered through Jesus Christ. B, that the Spirit from Jesus Christ is working in and through one's mind to enable him to grow spiritually. C, that Jesus Christ is living in one through the presence of God's Spirit that in that individual. And D, that one is possessed by God's Spirit. D is not the means by which God uses his Holy Spirit. He does not put his Spirit within us and force us, as Satan does, to do his will. God provides us the power, the conscience, the pricking of our heart and our mind and our character to want to yield to God's way of life. Doesn't put the Holy Spirit in us and just takes us over. That's what Satan wants to do. That's not how God is operating. He's interested in building righteous character, imbuing our mind, as it says there in A, the Spirit of Jesus Christ working through our mind to enable us to grow spiritually. Jesus Christ living in us through that Holy Spirit, guiding us, leading us. But we have to make ourselves open to God's prodding through that Spirit. Number 66, which one of the following is true? Which of the following is true? A, spiritually revealed concepts and principles are not beyond the comprehension of human intellect alone. B, the Holy Spirit, adding to one's human spirit, gives one the capacity to understand the spiritually revealed truth of God. C, only the most highly educated can understand spiritually revealed truths with their natural mind. And D, the Bible cannot be known in an academic sense. The answer is B. The Holy Spirit, added to one's human spirit, gives one the capacity to understand the spiritually revealed truth of God. That is so incredible. Literacy, the ability to read, is absolutely helpful. But there are many people, particularly in the earlier days of the Church of God, and certainly in other countries, where they are illiterate. But it's because of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in them that they can understand spiritual matters. They can comprehend it. They can change their life accordingly by hearing God's word. Incredible truth. We're so thankful for that. Question number 67. How can one begin to truly obey God? How can one begin to truly obey God? A, it isn't really possible. B, through sheer human willpower. C, through God's Spirit, which imparts the spiritual faith, love, strength needed to resist the devil and do God's will. D, through the Holy Spirit, which forces one to obey God. The answer is C. The answer is C. Through God's Spirit, which imparts the spiritual faith, the love, the strength needed to resist the devil and do God's will. That's what the Christian life, as far as living day to day, is about. Resisting Satan, resisting ourselves, resisting our human nature, and doing God's will. Doing God's will. Question number 68. Number 68. What is the love of God? What is the love of God? A, certainly not an attribute or fruit of God's Holy Spirit. B, the chief character trait of God manifested in a child of God through the Holy Spirit. C, it definitely has nothing to do with keeping God's commandments. Or D, a sentimental feeling, another form of human love. No, God's love is B, the chief character trait of God manifested in a child of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need God's love in us. As husbands, we need it. As wives, we need it. As children, we need it. As neighbors, we need it. As members and fellowship, in fellowship with one another, we need it. That's what we need. We need God's love, the chief character trait of God. And as Dee said that down there at the bottom, it's not that sentimental feeling. I grew up in Baptist church. You all know a bit of my history. And so much of that was built on emotional and sentimental feelings, not on the knowledge of who God is and what I was required to really do day in and day out and change my life going forward. We're very thankful for the understanding that God's word gives through the power of his Holy Spirit. Number 69. Does one manifest the fruits of God's Holy Spirit suddenly? Does it happen suddenly? A, yes, by talking in tongues. B, yes, one begins bearing all the attributes of the Spirit when begotten by God. C, no, it takes time for one to grow spiritually and manifest the fruits of the Spirit as mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And D, one cannot literally bear the attributes of the Holy Spirit until after he is born again. The answer is C. The answer is C. You don't get it suddenly. It takes time. It takes God's Holy Spirit working with us. All of those fruits, they come in time. We need to focus on each of those fruits. As I said, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, I mean, the sermons are immense. It covers so many different areas. Talk about here speaking in tongues. What a wonderful understanding we have about what took place on the day of Pentecost. Incredible understanding that we have. Only have a few more here. Number 70. Which one of the following statements is not true? Which one of the following statements is not true? One must draw on or use the Spirit from Christ to produce the results of the mind of Christ. Again, not true. B, the supply of the Spirit from Christ must be renewed in one daily to produce spiritual fruit. C, one receives more of God's Spirit by asking him for it in believing prayer every day. And D, one receives enough of the Spirit all at once to last as long as he lives. Which one is not true is D. D is not true. You know, we need to pray for God's help. We need to pray for more of God's Spirit. We need to ask him to help us to leverage what we have, to prick our heart and our minds when we're not living according to his way of life. Ask him, as we talked about last Sabbath, to ask him to show us who he wants us to be. Him showing us who he wants us to be is God revealing that to us through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. It's incredible, the truth of God. Have five more to go. Five more to go. Number 71. Was God's Spirit available to mankind during the Old Testament era? Was God's Holy Spirit available to mankind during the Old Testament era? A, only to a few patriarchs and prophets of God. B, only to Adam and Eve. C, all without exception were cut off from God's Spirit because of Adam's sin. D, yes, mankind in general has always had access to the Holy Spirit. The answer is A. Only a few of the patriarchs, the prophets, God's Holy Spirit working with those who were building the tabernacle, the temple. He put certain powers of his Holy Spirit into individuals who are crafting garments and et cetera. Incredible truth. I mean, you can spend a tremendous amount of time in the Old Testament with regard to Holy Spirit, even in those few individuals that show up there that God mentions in the Old Testament. Number 72. What was the name of the day on which God sent his Holy Spirit to start begetting those whom he would call into his church? Was it Easter, Pentecost, Good Friday, or Passover? The answer is Pentecost. Pentecost. We are looking forward to that next holy day of God. Number 73. What makes one a true member of God's spiritual church? What makes one a true member of God's spiritual church? A, having one's name on his membership list, one's belief in Christ, one's baptism in water, or D, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of God's Holy Spirit makes us a member of God's spiritual church. We're very thankful for the structures of CAGWA, other Church of God organizations, the work that they do. We're very thankful for that. But we were baptized into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. We're very thankful for that and the understanding that comes with that. Just two more. What is God's, number 74, what is God's purpose for his church and chosen ministry? What is God's purpose for his church and chosen ministry? A, to make the members feel righteous. B, to overcome sin for God's people. C, to feed God's spirit begotten children with his word so that they may grow spiritually. Or D, to make the members' decision for them. The answer is C. God's purpose for his church and his ministry is to feed God's spirit begotten children with his word so they may grow spiritually. That is what my call is. That is what my charge is. We'll be spending, you know, a lot of time doing a lot of reading. You probably noticed that I spend a lot of time in my sermons reading scripture, you know, going into different words, different angles, etc. I spent 34 years outside of the ministry, working for Toyota Corporation. Certainly God working with me, an elder during that time, a pastor during that time. But where I feel most comfortable when talking about God's word is in God's word, in his scriptures. So that's where my mind is. I can inculcate experience and life experiences that I've had. But where I'm comfortable with is dealing and delving into God's word, into his scripture, expounding on that, reading those scriptures, providing understanding so that we can grow spiritually. And number 75, the last question of tonight, The Holy Spirit led true church of God. A, does not understand the truth of God, rejects the word of God, especially the Ten Commandments, claiming they were done away by Christ, done away with by Christ. C, is not preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God as a witness to all nations. Or D, is rather easy to find if you apply the biblical description of the church of God. The Holy Spirit led true church of God is D, is rather easy to find if you apply God's Spirit description of his church. Now God has to reveal that. And we're very thankful for God revealing that to us, revealing that to people. That's why we have the Life, Hope, and Truth webcast, broadcast, et cetera. That's why we have that. It's so that we can understand God's word, God's truth, et cetera. That's what we want to be able to do, is understand God's truth. The church is doing a phenomenal job putting forth the effort, putting forth the energy to preach, to teach God's word. We have the Life, Hope, and Truth, a website, the proclamation site out there, teaching about the kingdom of God, answers to many, many different things that people are challenged with during this particular time. But when God calls us, we receive God's Holy Spirit, it's incumbent upon us to then put in the effort to live according to this way of life. That's what this calling is about. So I want to go back to the book of Acts. I want to just read, as we just finish up tonight, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We covered a lot of information just in quiz format. Again, I didn't want to delve too deeply into the answers to those. We'll have plenty of time to do that. I want to encourage you to take the quiz online, go through it yourself. I'll send out another copy with the answers on it. If you have any questions about those, spend some time looking at it. You can always send me an email. Well, Mr. Jackson, I'm not sure why this is the case or why that is the case. Can you provide, an explanation around this, that, or the other? We'll do that. And I'm certainly sure that as we go through leading up towards Pentecost, through the sermons, through the sermonettes, et cetera, that many of these particular topics will be touched on. But I want to just read again Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, and then we'll call it a night. I think I owe everybody back a little bit time between church services and Bible studies. Maybe balance out a little bit tonight with a little shorter Bible study. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Incredible truth. So as we move towards the day of Pentecost, we'll be receiving a lot of information. Some of my letters that I'll be sending out on Friday night will start pointing in that direction. We need that especially during this time. We're locked up in our homes, can get restless, can get tired, can certainly become irritable, can end up becoming very, very frustrated. We talked about last week of some of the mental illness and mental stresses that many people are under. It's God's Holy Spirit that will give us the strength to be able to combat that. That is the primary source that we need to look forward to or look to. It's God working with us, His Spirit working with us, looking towards God's plan of salvation, knowing that God is in control. The only way that we do that, can hold on to that, is by yielding and asking and leveraging God's Spirit. What a wonderful next holy day we come to. Came through Passover. Jesus Christ giving his life through us, the days of unleavened bread, putting sin out, putting the love of God in, and then Pentecost. What we really, really need in order to move forward, become like our Heavenly Father in more than just form and shape, become like our Heavenly Father and like Jesus Christ in character. So that's it for the Bible study tonight.